You're listening to the See the Unseen podcast, where our number one focus is creating a little visibility for people who deserve a whole lot of spotlight. I'm your host, Melissa Georgioff, and I'm here to share some amazing stories that can transform and inspire lives. So get ready to take those blinders off and see the unseen.
Welcome to the podcast. Today, I have Dave Hardwig and Mark Allison with me from Sleep in Heavenly Peace. It's a nonprofit that it's their mission to make sure that no child sleeps on the floor. So welcome to the podcast, guys.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you.
So let's get started here. Dave, tell me a little bit about how Sleep in Heavenly Peace was created and how you got started.
So Sleep in Heavenly Peace is a national nonprofit that was started by Luke Mickelson out of Kimberly, Idaho, back in 2012. He was very involved with the youth mission at his church, and he knew of a couple of kids that were sleeping on the floor. So he went to the lumber yard and got some lumber and rounded up his kids, and they built a couple of beds in their garage. And that served as a spark and catalyst for a national movement that is now helping children all across the United States and three other countries.
Wow. Three other countries. Mm-hmm. What other countries is there?
Canada, the Bahamas, and the Caribbean islands.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how did you get involved in this organization?
So a very good friend of mine had posted something on his Facebook page about the founder of our local chapter here in Alton, Jason Bruno, hosting his very first open public build, which was in January of 2020. So I reached out to Jason and conveyed to him that this is something I'd like to be involved with. And so he was kind enough to make me his wingman for a few months there, and then turned the reins over to me when I retired in October of 2020. And it's been a blessing to be a part of it ever since.
Yeah. So we went to church together. So that's how we know each other at Lifebrook Church. And I remember, Sleep in Heavenly Peace?
Yes.
The day that I went there?
Yeah. You were there.
Okay.
I did a presentation at church, and you and Andy were there that day.
Yeah. And then I went to the facility and kind of see what it looks mm-hmm. like and how others can get involved. Basically, there's a lot of children that are sleeping on the floor. And I had really no idea that there were so many people in the area that don't have beds.
Yeah. Headquarters has shared with us that, 3% of the child population is bedless. That means that they're either sleeping on the floor, on the couch, multiple children in a single bed, or perhaps still sleeping with a parent. So, whatever that scenario is, we want to help mitigate that and help kids get the quality rest that they need to thrive in life.
Gotcha. Well, I have a picture here I'm going to put up. This is just a couple kids kind of with their blankets sleeping on the floor. And some people might think that, this looks like a little slumber party or something. But, unfortunately, this is how they sleep every single night.
That's a reality in some cases.
Yeah. And then here's an after picture, and these are the beds that you and all of the volunteers put together. So I want to hear a little bit more about this and how it works and what the process is. So you want to go ahead and tell me, how do you know that someone has this need? How do you hear about people, and how can they call in if they do have a need for a bed?
So we're connected to a lot of agencies in the area. But anyone who has need of a bed for a child can go to our website, shpbeds.org, and submit a request. And that will be picked up by the chapter that covers that area, if there is an operating chapter in that area. So the individual will get an immediate automated response to their submittal, and it will advise them if there's an operating chapter in that area or if there's not. And then the delivery manager for that chapter will be the recipient of that request. And so it'll get vetted and progress through the steps, and the delivery manager will ultimately reach out to that family and get some information about the children, find out what kind of bed that they're in need of, be it a single or a bunk. And if the children have a preference on color, or if they're into a theme, if they have that bedding in their inventory, they will try to match that up for them. So that's how it plays out.
And does, any child qualify, anybody who doesn't have a bed, or do you have to have a certain income, or?
The only requirements are that the children have to be between the ages of 3 and 17.
Okay.
And not have received a bed from us previously.
Okay. And then I know there's a lot of bedding involved. So does that get donated as well? And I think I have some pictures here of some of the bedding. These are some of the finished products.
Our chapter has been in Alton, has been very blessed to just have amazing support from the community. We have a lot of churches and businesses doing bedding drives for us. So for the most part, bedding donations have kept up with our application demand. So we haven't had to allocate much of our limited funds for that side of it. The majority of the funds that we receive go to purchasing lumber and mattresses. Mattresses are the most expensive item that we have to provide. So when we do a delivery, that bed's ready to sleep on. They get a nice handmade bed, brand new mattress, and all the associated bedding.
Okay. So I know a lot of different, I saw a couple pictures of, like, here's the one with all this different bedding. So some people volunteer bedding, but there's also quilts, right? Do a lot of people make quilts, or are they donating them?
So great question. It casts light on the fact that there are many ways for people to partner a mission with us. And we're blessed to have a group of retired teachers from the Southwestern School District that make beautiful handmade quilts, and they've donated 608 quilts to us since we started
Wow.
the mission here in Alton. And they spend about an average of 10 hours on each of those quilts. So that's a lot of labor.
Wow. That's a labor of love, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. And then to donate them for these kids, what a blessing that is.
Yeah.
Who donates the mattresses? Is that just from donations, from funds, and you guys just go out and buy the mattresses?
Yeah, our chapter support center has brought together a company to partner a mission with us. So we're getting mattresses now that are made for us that have our logo on them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we order them direct from our internal supply system.
Okay. And then Lowe's is also a big sponsor do they donate some of the wood, or do they give you a discount? How does that work?
So Lowe's is one of our major corporate sponsors, and the Alton store has just been amazing partner for us, but they are supporting the SHP mission across the board. They just hosted a 24-hour bed build event in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so we sent 230 representatives out there, and we set up 14 build trains in the Charlotte Convention Center, which Lowe's had rented for that event. And Lowe's brought in 5,500 volunteers to
Wow.
participate in that event.
That's crazy.
Employees from across the company and country, and some of their suppliers as well. And they built 5,000 beds in that 24-hour block of time. And we had designated individuals to drive rental trucks out there as opposed to flying. And so 49 chapters took those 5,000 beds back to their home base and distributed those out.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It was an incredible event to be part of and to witness.
Yeah. Is that the most beds that you've ever been a part of that they've made?
Yes, biggest one so far. Next year, I believe they've set a goal that is much higher than that.
What is the goal? Do you know?
I can't say.
Oh, it's secret, huh? Okay, Mark. Tell me how you got involved in Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And you'll have to speak up there in the microphone.
put about 17 years in Habitat for Humanity and worked building houses in a local area and then the greater area of Habitat. I was involved in some of the administration on that. And I could see that it was a worthwhile charity. But it was one of those deals where families, the ones that received the house, they were thrilled, but there were so many others that needed it. And then I had heard about other organizations, and I retired about that same time. And I always enjoyed working with my hands, and that's part of what drew me to Habitat. But one of my golfing buddies had started attending the Sleep and Heavenly Peace chapter. And of course, while you're golfing, you always talk about other stuff and your family. And he was also kind of a woodworker. And he said, hey, you know, you ought to come check this out. And so I did. And that was also in early 2000. And it was a good group of guys and gals. There were a few gals then. And the part that I enjoyed was, you know, the hands-on aspect. And at first, pretty much everybody did every job. You know, if you wanted to build a bed, you got to participate in it all. Now the kind of core members kind of oversee the volunteers, and you don't get quite as much hands-on of the building part. But the part that really drew me once I started seeing it was the delivery aspect. You hear about stories, kids need beds, and you know, same story. I didn't think much about it. How could they need a bed? You know, beds are cheap and everything. But there was a big need, and by making the deliveries, you could see how much they appreciated it. The moms were always just thrilled that their kid was getting a bed, and the little kids would just light up, you know, when they came. And sometimes they were big enough to be able to help assemble the bed there, and so they had a little input into their bed. And you know, they'd just be as happy as could be to get their new bed, and especially if it was theme related, like I got Star Wars sheets or something, and so they'd all be happy. But I think that part, you know, is kind of that feel-good experience that you want to repeat. Mm-hmm. And so once you kind of get into it, and I had more time since I had retired, and kind of looking forward to, oh, every Wednesday night, or, you know, as often as you could. But it's been a very worthwhile experience, and I really enjoy working with Sleep and Heavenly Peace.
That's great. Can anyone, do you have to have a certain skill set? Can anyone come down and build beds? I know you said that there's some people that you're kind of over, you know, you're the manager overseeing some of it, maybe because of just anybody can come down. Is that the reason?
Well, that is true. Dave likes to say that each of the stations, I don't know, there's a dozen or so stations of building a bed, but each one of them is designed to be very simple task. We've had some fairly young kids, and they just get all excited too. And it's their first time to use a drill, or first time to use a sander, or they get to put some bolts in the right spots on building the bed and with a impact drill. And so they get all excited about that. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, one of the questions that we'll ask is, anybody ever ran a sander? And about half of them, no, I haven't done that. So you're getting to teach somebody, you know, a new skill that they haven't had. Mm-hmm. And, so no, most of the tasks are I don't want to say dumbed down, but most of the tasks are so that people of any skill level could learn them and do them very quickly.
Yeah, you'd think you might even connect with like the high school, like the woodworking classes or things like that. Have you ever thought of doing that?
Well, we've had all kinds of groups. Dave, tell her.
We have. We've been just so blessed to have amazing engagement from our community. We get church youth groups, scouting troops, FHA, sporting teams. It runs the gamut. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just, you know, scrolling through LinkedIn a couple weeks ago, and this guy, Mike Skelly, who works for HR Healthcare, I work with him, and my day job. And I saw that he posted Sleep and Heavenly Peace, and he's like, oh, I'm volunteering, I'm making beds and everything. I'm like, I know those guys, which is really cool. I mean, you can just see there's so many people getting involved all over the country. I mean, he's from Texas. But it, you know, I thought maybe it was just local here, but it's really everywhere. Like you said, three countries now.
Yeah. 363 chapters now. So here locally, there are 13 chapters splattered across the state of Illinois, 20 in Missouri, The closest chapter to us going to the north is in Springfield, Illinois. So there's a pretty good gap between our northern border and their southern border. So there's really room for another chapter there in between us. And then to the south of us, the next chapter closest to us, still in Illinois, is called the Metro East Chapter. And they cover everything from East St. Louis all the way over to Scott Air Force Base.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What was the most inspiring story like that you've ever, you know, the bed that you went and delivered, what really pulled at your heartstrings?
I had a 3-year-old girl just latch onto my leg, you know, bear hug style, and just didn't want to let go. And, you know, she's looking up at you, and you could just see, you know, the giddiness and the happiness in her, you know, about getting her own bed. And it just brings so much joy to your heart, you know.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mark?
One of the most interesting ones, we had a request from a family that had gone through a fire. And so they had lost whatever they had. And so they needed, I believe it was 3 beds. And so we show up at the house, the new house that they had rented, very, very nice and clean and everything. And there wasn't anything in the house. They'd been living there all week already, just an empty house. And it's like they were just so excited, these kids, to get their bed, because they were literally on the floor, the entire family. And after seeing that, I made some arrangements through our church that I attend, and we were able to get them another bed for the parents, and some side tables and odds and ends. But, you know, just to see that they started with nothing from there, and to have the knowledge that all these kids are at least going to be able to sleep at night. And one of the things that's always interesting is you don't think about how it impacts their going to school. If they're half tired from a rough night, or maybe they stay up too late because their bedroom's the living room where everybody's watching TV and they have to wait till everybody's asleep.
Sure.
So I'm sure the providing them a bed helps their attendance and their alertness at school also.
Right. Yeah. In the medical device industry, there is an organization called Cubby Beds, and they make beds for kids with autism, and they kind of zip up all the way around. And people don't understand when you say that, you know, getting a good night's sleep. Well, if these parents can't sleep because their child is up and running around and can really cause harm to, you know, other children in the house or themselves and everything, they don't understand all of that. And, you know, I understand a good night's sleep. You know, it affects everything in your life too. And, you know, this, it's just so awesome that you're doing this for these kids that, cause like you said, it could really impact them at their school, just how they, you know, they interact each day with their kids and whether they can think clearly and all of that. So it's much more than just, you know, having a bed.
It is. It's a safe place. It just serves as that springboard for that quality rest that they need, for sure.
Sure.
One of the things that was also interesting was the people that applied, the wide variance in them. Some of them were grandparents getting their kids back, their grandkids back, because the parents weren't able to care for them. Some of them were divorced fathers that they were separated now. They needed beds for their weekends or whatever. And, and it's not just a single family that, you know, needs a bed. There's a wide variety of them now that, and some of them just can't afford to have, you know, $1,000 bed come in,
right,
or whatever the number is.
That's a good point.
All nice and neat.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think our headquarters did a survey on that and identified that, you know, if you were going to go out and buy a single bed, you're looking at $600 on average to do that. Our beds, you know, out the door have a national average cost of $300. And so, but that's, you know, that's at no cost to the recipients.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the community rallying to give back, you know.
If people want to donate to Sleep in Heavenly Peace, how can they do that?
There are two routes that they can take. One is online. They can go to our website, shpbeds.org. And they can donate via credit card, debit card there. And you can also become a member of our Bunkhead Club and make monthly donations. So for as little as, you know, $25 a month, you can put a child in a bed at the end of the year. And then we have a P.O. box here locally. It's P.O. box 394 in Alton, where you can, you know, mail a check, and or you can drop them off into our secure mailbox at our shop at number 10 Crossroads Court in Alton.
Great.
And the donations for the bedding?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for bringing that up, Mark. We, two of our core team members just built a really nice donation drop box for us. So that's now sitting outside our shop, also at number 10 Crossroads Court. So anybody who wants to donate twin size bedding can just swing by there and drop it off.
Great. And it's, of course, all new bedding.
Yes.
Yes, is what you're asking for. Mm-hmm.
Has to be new in package. Yes.
Gotcha. What kind of challenges do you see, or what kind of challenges come up when you're making beds?
You know, as Mark was saying, there's approximately 12 stations in the build train. You know, it's set up assembly line style, like, you know, you would have an automotive plant. And they've been doing this since 2012, so they've really tweaked and fine-tuned the process and simplified it so that just about anybody can do this with, you know, limited or no skills coming in the door. I think the most challenging part for us as of late is not necessarily around building. It's finding more kids that we can help. We've been delivering to the same 15 zip codes for 4.5 years now, and applications have slowed to a drip. So
you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Too good a good job, I guess. Or you're going to have to start delivering farther out.
Well, in concert with that, we just added 5 zip codes to our coverage area, but we've yet to receive an application from any of those areas. So we've gone out to the up into the northwest and to the northeast as phase one of our expansion program, and then phase two, we're going to take those two northern points and capture, go east and west and capture everything that's in between. And then at some point down the road, phase three will take us farther north unless another chapter forms, you know, in between us in the northern chapter that we currently have. Can you think of anything else there, Mark, that throws us a challenge?
No. It's been really interesting. The groups that come, you think, oh, there's a homeschool group coming, and there'll be 15 kids, and oh, you think, oh, they're going to be wild and running around, but they're very well behaved and very energetic. Or maybe you're going to see, they've got a church group that's coming, and there's 11 women, and it's like, oh boy, you know, but same story. Mm-hmm. Just so eager to help out, mm-hmm. And most of them just jump right in, and. Typically, when you have somebody that volunteers for an activity, they came to work. You know, mm-hmm. they didn't come to just visit or something. If they're wanting to give their time, they want to make it productive. And so we kind of do that right off the bat. We don't let them stand around, and we have a task for them. And for instance, on sanding, we never run out of sanding opportunities. So if somebody wants to sand, they can start right off and go for hours at it. But we don't, you know, have a lot of downtime while they're there. We're there to work.
Yes, we're using regular construction grade lumber that we're turning into a piece of furniture. So like Mark said, lots of sanding involved to mm-hmm. make that splinter free and you know, safe for the kids.
Yeah, and you're doing this through what days during the week do you meet to make the beds?
Currently, let me back up. When we first started out, we were building every Wednesday evening from 5 to 8 p.m. And then
we have a car driving by.
Oh, is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah, it's loud. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. And then we're doing one Saturday a month. So as the application started slowing down, obviously our need of inventory wasn't, you know, as much. So we backed off to every other Wednesday, but still doing one Saturday a month. And we're booked to the end of the year with private group builds right now. But we haven't been doing any open public builds on those opposing Wednesdays. So if the application demand starts ramping back up, then we'll start throwing in some of those open public builds again.
Okay. And what kind of groups are coming down there too? You said church groups. Are there certain companies that are coming down there, employees? Just a little bit of everybody.
Mm-hmm. It spans the gamut. And some of the larger companies in the area who do community service days have been coming in and partnering with us, and they'll sponsor their builds and pay for the, you know, the build or the beds that they're going to build. And that's very helpful. Very helpful.
That's great. Yeah. I have a picture here of some volunteers. Who are these people?
Well, I see a lot of red shirts there, so that could be, it's a little too far away for me to see, but those red shirts typically designate our core team staff members.
Yeah. And that is your tagline. No kid sleeps on the floor in our town.
Correct.
Wow. Cool. How do you measure success?
You want to take that one more?
I think there'd be a couple ways. One, I feel like we're being successful because the demand has dropped for this area.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point you've got to think, hey, we've filled every need. And by having it slow down in our area, I think that is successful. But I kind of view it as each bed that's delivered is a success story.
Yes.
Because, if indeed it could change that kid's life and the parent's stress factor because they're not sleeping in the same bed with them. And so that's definitely got to be a success. And there's other things to it. They always talk about as you grow older, you lose social contacts. But this has given me and a number of other people contacts. And it's kind of, we look forward to just visiting while we're there and sharing stories about the deliveries or sharing stories about a group that's been there or talking about our golf game or whatever while we're there. So I think that's another success. It's given us a kind of another purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just old worn out guys. We still can contribute.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you how it, has changed you personally. And it sounds like, it's kind of like you said, giving you purpose and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And that's really what purpose is. It's, the best of what we have to offer others. A lot of people, think that they have to go find their purpose in their job. Sometimes it's a good thing that we can do that, but it's also, there's tons of ways to find purpose and fulfillment outside of your work, and going and volunteering and doing things like this.
I'm also a member of the Riverbend East Rotary Club. And as part of the Rotarians, our mission is service above self. And so this is another example of that we can give. And our Rotary Club and the Alton Rotary Club and others have come and have participated in the builds. But I also like to think about, you mentioned your faith. Jesus went around doing good. That was, mm-hmm. There's even a song, I think, Jesus went around doing good, doing all the good that he could.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is one more example of showing Jesus' love to the community by providing something that is in need for him.
Absolutely. Is serving others. And we talk about that in church a lot is, how are you serving others? How are you serving in your church? And, it's really getting outside of yourself. That's where you find the most fulfillment is helping other people.
Absolutely.
And it's in, anybody can, everyone has spiritual gifts. Everyone's given something that they're good at and always trying to find ways to, give back to others. And I think Sleep in Heavenly Peace is a perfect opportunity where anybody, like you said, anybody can come down and help. Now, you probably don't want me making beds. That's why I just wrote a check. I don't know. I should probably go down there and make some beds.
You can do it.
And some of the ladies that don't want to go out and get their nails messed up, they'll work in the bedding room helping on the delivery days to get the bedding ready. Because even that takes quite a bit of effort to make sure you've got the exact right items for each delivery. I think this next week we've got 24 deliveries online.
We have 24 children waiting, and we're building up the support for our next delivery day. So however many teams we can muster, that's how many children we'll be able to help on that given day, which will be Wednesday the 23rd from 5 to 8 p.m. We'll be doing deliveries again.
So you could imagine putting all those beddings together to make sure that somebody doesn't get an extra pillow and somebody else gets the right amount of sheets
right.
and all that. So it takes just as much effort to get the bedding together.
Mm-hmm.
So our governing board, you mentioned, how do we measure success? Our governing board has set some long-range goals for us. So in the five-year plan, it is our goal to provide our services to 40% of the population in the United States by the end of 2030, or by 2030, I should say. So we're thinking broader, and we want to find more kids to help. I mean, it's always, bedlessness is always going to be perpetual, mm-hmm. right? But our goal is to get out there and build more chapters. They've been adding anywhere from 50 to 60 more chapters each year. They do training, new president chapter training every quarter. So the next one will be in September. And I think they have 13 chapters signed up right now to participate in that. So,
now, do you ever get too many volunteers, or do you have not enough volunteers?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I shared with you that when we first started out, we were doing builds every Wednesday, and those were open public builds. And we had gotten to the point where as knowledge of our existence, you know, became more readily known, we started getting slammed with lots of people showing up. So, and of course, you know, you have to keep your arms around safety and quality mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And you want to ensure that everybody has a good time, obviously. So, we made a transition then to, doing the private group builds that, you know, folks could schedule with us. So if you have five to 20 people that want to come in and build, you can schedule, you know, a private build with us.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And even with that, we have a set number that we max out at. So just because of the facility size, and, I think that number is what, currently around 20?
It depends on the time of year. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Is there a certain time of year where you get a little busier than others?
Well, some of the chapters that are out there are completely trailer based, meaning they don't have a building like we do. We are just absolutely blessed that the owners of the building we're in, which are Ted Prain and PJ Jun, donate the use of that building to us. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's huge. In the wintertime, you know, obviously we're restricted to the inside of the building. So that limits how many people we can put in there. Okay, so 20 is normally our cap for that. But during the better weather periods of the year, mm-hmm. you know, where we can set up operations both inside and outside, then we can bump that up. And case in point, we just had, how many people do we have? Close to 30, I think, last night. Yeah, with the evangelical church there in Alton that came in and built with us. Yeah. They're celebrating their 175th anniversary, and they chose our mission as their community outreach to highlight that that anniversary. So we were blessed to have them in, and they're coming back again Saturday because they had so many people interested that we had to do two sessions for them.
That's got to make you feel great.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Dave, what's your position at Sleep in Heavenly Peace? Like, do you have a title there? Or
what? I'm currently serving as president and operations manager.
Cool.
For the whole chapter.
Okay, how about you, Mark?
I'm just a member of the core team that kind of supports whatever needs to be done at a given time.
Gotcha. He's a humble guy. He's one of our delivery team leaders, and he is he's been building with us long enough now that he knows all the stations in there, so he can serve as a station leader during the builds anywhere that there's a need.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What's one message you hope listeners take away from this episode? If there's one thing that they remember, what would that be?
You can make a difference in a child's life. Yeah. With something as simple as a bed. Yeah, for sure.
I think that would really sum it up nicely. And you can do it hands-on or monetarily. Mm-hmm. You're not limited. I can't do anything. But everybody could throw in a dollar or $5 a week or whatever it comes out to be a bunkhead member. What is the amount?
What's a bunkhead?
Well, that's the term that we use that give monthly.
Bunkhead member, you know, is a monthly giver.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a minimum on that or not.
I want to say $20 is the minimum.
I was thinking that, but I wasn't totally sure. But it's one of the better uses of your money, and it'd be easy to do that online. You don't have to make a check out every month or anything. It's set up. It just
comes right out.
Automatically comes mm-hmm. out.
Yep. Yeah. You don't even miss it.
Right.
Tax deductible.
Yeah.
Yes. We are a registered nonprofit.
That's awesome. You guys want to give, is there anything that we missed, I missed, or anything you want to share that we didn't cover?
You mentioned about the Lowe's participation. You might want to tell them about our tools and how we get those from them and all the different.
Do they donate the tools?
So that partnership that we have with Lowe's being one of our major corporate sponsors, yes, we get our lumber and tools from them at a discount. And their company is an advocate of their employees participating in community involvement. So, you see Lowe's employees engaging and participating, in our mission as well. So yeah, it's a great partnership.
Awesome. You want to just tell the listeners again how they can get involved, website, what phone number they would call, how can they give, how can they get involved with building?
So for anybody who is, out there beyond the coverage of our chapter, you can go to shpbeds.org and just click Find My Chapter, and you can enter the state, and it will populate a listing of all the chapters in that state and the contact information for each of those chapters. And as far as participating with us, any opportunities that would be available to the general public will be posted on our chapter webpage. We use a tool called Golden Volunteer to support registration process. So when you register for an event, that provides you with all the information that you need to come prepared and to find our shop. And let's see what else. If you want to schedule a build, you can contact me direct, either via phone or email. My phone is 618-377-4020, or you can email me at dave.hardwick@shpbeds.org.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and put that on YouTube and Facebook, all the things, Apple Podcasts, Canyon Star TV. But thank you guys so much for coming in and sharing about Sleep in Heavenly Peace. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. And I just love the work that you guys are doing.
Thank you, Melissa. We appreciate your partnership and helping us find more kids we can help.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing us to share.
Thank you. And if you're listening to the See the Unseen podcast and you want to know how you can get involved, call Dave, call Mark, and get involved and help a kid not sleep on the floor this evening. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode of the See the Unseen podcast, please share it with someone else and pay it forward. I encourage you also to leave a comment below as I try and read all of them. So hit the subscribe button if you'd like to receive notifications of new upcoming episodes. And if no one's told you today, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my podcast with you, and I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode.